This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Wednesday morning. Well, an awful lot to get to today because the Phils had a win yesterday that was absolutely crazy. Probably the most wild game of the season so far. A lot of good, a lot of bad, a lot to discuss, but the Phils did get the W late. Walking it off, if you will. We'll do a lot today on the Eagles draft as well. I mean, it's been a couple days, but there's still a lot to digest. Some of what Mike Mayock said this week on WIP about Jahad Campbell and more, we'll get to that. Andy Reid will be on the program today. 8:45, of course, John's old coach. We got BG Day coming up next week where we honor Brandon Graham. So we're beginning the process of starting to, you know, dive into the long history of Brandon Graham here in Philadelphia. And obviously, it was Andy many years ago, decade and a half ago, that drafted, it was Andy that drafted BG. So Andy Reid today at 8:45, Elvis Costello tickets, and certainly more, including you on the phone lines. You can join us 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
You know, the original title of the Big Bang Theory was Lenny, Penny, and Kenny.
Okay, hold on. I got to ask, just for the exactus, you're talking about the TV show or the scientific theory?
TV show. Those are names of characters.
Then I assume the scientific one
Wait, hold on. So the Big Bang Theory, the concept that the universe began with an explosion.
Awesome. Was a different name.
Well, you do know
Scientists might have called that Lenny, Penny, and Kenny.
There is a theory that's called Adam and Eve. I'm just saying.
That's not a theory.
No, I know. Well, it is. No, it is a theory.
It's not a scientific theory.
No, it's
not a scientific
theory. So,
we can tie this all together. Johnny Galecki, the guy who was
happy birthday, right?
Yeah, 50th birthday. Can you believe that?
No, because he's always looked young. He's rusty in Christmas Vacation for you.
Okay,
to get it.
All right. All right, fair enough.
The one that some say you look like is Sheldon.
Sheldon, yeah. And by the way, not the best Rusty of all time.
No, we all know Anthony Michael Hall is the best Rusty.
That's not what I would say. Yeah.
Oh, People tell Joe he looks like Sheldon.
Oh, yeah. Brother.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I can see that.
All right, I don't know if I see it.
I've heard that. I've heard others. Nicolas Cage. I get that sometimes. Nicolas Cage.
Because you're weird.
Fine-looking man, Nicolas Cage. All right, guys, let's get to it here. 215-592-9494. We will do a lot on the draft. And again, Andy Reid in a couple hours with us on the program. But let's start Phils. Any objection here from anybody on that was the craziest Phillies game of the season?
No objection.
Right? No, I think that was it, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to remember them all. Once you get, here we are at the end of a month, so you kind of start losing track of remembering all of them. But I find it hard to believe there was a more crazy game.
It was their first walk-off.
This game is a hinge.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
This season could have swung one way or the other. I do believe this is the type of game. We would have lost that way. You know what today would have felt like?
Would have been a disaster.
Come on.
No, it would have been a disaster.
The Nationals, too. And here's the funny thing about all of this is I was being told the Nationals, hey, they're pretty good this year.
They stink.
Watching this series, my eyes disagree. You know, you're telling me the Nationals are good. Hey, this is a real shot in the arm that the Phillies are playing like this. The Nationals aren't good. I mean, I'm watching. I can tell. I'm not an expert. I know that we make those mistakes against any team worth its salt.
Game should have been over
you
earlier.
Lose.
Yeah. Game should have been over easy.
So, my gosh, we just kept giving it back. The defense was so horrendous.
Correct.
Hold up. Wasn't Rojas supposed to be like a Hoover vacuum cleaner sweeping anything up that comes into his vicinity?
Yeah,
how
he and
on
Trey
earth
had
does
some
he miss everything
moments.
That comes close?
Yeah.
And you know, Trey Turner, incredible night offensively, but what the heck is going on with just the simple things? Do the simple things. It falls apart. When you fall apart doing the simple things, you lose games against bad teams. I thought that was a bad team. that they've played somewhat beyond their capabilities this year to have 13 wins. I think that'll all even out. We should thank our lucky stars we escaped with that win last night. But, you know, maybe it's the kind of thing where the guys start feeling better about their whatever, the way things are put together. And this is what gets us on a positive tip, gets everyone, you know, back in believing.
Look, here's where I'm at. On let me just tell you the big picture. Guys, it's going to be, to use a Mark Zumoff term that he said many times, when the Sixers were in a close game, he would say, they're on the seesaw. Like, you're up one, you're down one. You're up one, you're down one. This whole season's going to be a seesaw. I'm convinced of that. Now, look, there's going to be more positive than negative. I still think they're going to win around 90 games. I still think they're probably going to make the playoffs. But notice I say probably. I don't say definitely the way I did before the season started. I mean, there are some good teams in the National League, and obviously the Phillies have flaws, some of which were here last year, some of which feel new.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Last night was an incredible case.
It feels like a new team almost. I mean, it feels like the performance is something that I can't expect.
Well, in some ways it's very similar. So here's the deal. Last night was a classic case of a tale of not two cities, but of good and bad. Not good and evil, but good and bad. I mean, the good was tremendous. The good was Trey Turner, who people yesterday were calling into our show saying, don't ever let him, you know, lead off. And by the way, Rob Thompson, knock it off with having two or three different leadoff hitters. Just go with Stott. And I was like, no, I'm good. I am good with Rob Thompson going back and forth on who his leadoff hitter. I'm fine. Not only am I fine with it.
As long as they perform.
Well, right. Well, part of the theory had been Schwarber wasn't performing in the middle of the lineup. When I say middle, I mean 3-4. And obviously, he did last night. Trey did last night leading off. He gets four hits. All right. So, like, that thing for a night, to me, feels settled down. But I was never freaking out anyway. Giulio was saying yesterday during the show, you can't let Trey lead off. You can't let Stott lead off. You got to have Schwarber lead off because that's the best version of Schwarber. And my thing is, I'm not going to judge Schwarber and an inability to hit in 3-4 just because he's had a bad 2 weeks. I mean, I think at times we got to chill out a little bit on the knee jerk. So, like, last night, a good was the configuration, the way Rob Thompson wants to go with that element of the team. That was great because those two guys were two of the best Phillies last night. And there were other good Phillies. Rojas did good things offensively. Then, John, to your point, I mean, the defense, we always talk about up the middle. The up the middle defense last night, other than JT with an unbelievable defensive play to make sure that ball didn't go to the backstop on the ridiculous Trey Turner throw, Trey's defense stunk, Rojas' defense stunk. By the way, the other major issue we've talked a ton about this year, the bullpen, was all over the place. Yes, Alvarado danced out of an inning, but he danced himself into an inning. You also had the reality, bases were loaded. Obviously, some of that was on Trey, but I'm saying some of that was on Alvarado. You had Strom give up an inherited run. He's been one of the better relievers, but they do seem to give up a lot of inherited runs. You had the Kirkering meltdown, and I know there was, I mean, meltdown strong, but I know there was an error in there, but there was also a 3-run home run. So, like, add it up. You be the judge how you feel when you wake up this morning. Yes, they won. But it was all over the place. 2-5-5-9-2-94-94.
Kirkering has been such a... Last night was an absolute disaster. Last night was a... What really is going on here? Like, why is it this has gone the way it's gone? Why has it not been anywhere close to what I think they expected?
John,
when they
it feels
burst
so
him onto the scene last year.
It feels so Sir Anthony to me. And what I mean by that, a young pitcher, he thought, like, this is our dude. I can trust him. And yeah, sometimes you could, and sometimes you couldn't.
I feel like the couldn't comes 9 out of 10 with
Kirkering. A lot more lately. A lot more.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's a
and
lot
he's not
more.
As good as Sir Anthony was, too. Like, at his when
at
Sir
his
Anthony
best.
Was, yeah, Sir Anthony was better when he was at his best than
And it's amazing because eventually they moved on from Sir Anthony James after, you know, 4 or 5 years, whatever it was. Major injury in there in the middle of it. But, I mean, even as recently, I say as recently, it's 3 years ago, but the 2022 playoffs, Sir Anthony was phenomenal,
and then
they dump him by, was it early last year?
It was last year. Don't look now. Yeah. Sir Anthony's pitching well for the Orioles.
I knew.
Well, he's got a great arm.
I know. I hated the trade when they made it.
Back then, remember, we had...
The stupid Austin Hayes.
No velocity.
Wow. Is that what that trade was?
Yeah, it was Austin Hayes.
Back then...
Well, they gave up quite an offer.
Sir Anthony was our only pitcher who could throw over 95. Remember, like, it was... No one had velocity. And Sir Anthony's velocity when he get up to like 98, 99, he never knew where it was going to go. It would trail in any direction. And this was before the surgery.
Yeah.
And then we all expected after the surgery, the velocity would be even greater. But then, of course, we don't really know the way that all transpired because time ran out for him.
So here's the deal. I mean, it was a crazy game to react to, and in many ways a crazy month to react to. I mean, it's welcome to April 30th, last day of the month. If you want to comment both on last night's game and this month and what it all represents to you, because there really has been a lot of good and a lot of bad, both within the game and the month, you can certainly weigh in at 215-592-9494. For a moment here, let's focus on the way it ended, last night's game, because if you missed this, the Phillies came within a right fielder's throw to home plate to losing the game.
And it was on time. That throw was on time.
And here's the deal, guys. I don't know if I ever... I mean, I'm sure it's probably happened, but I can't tell you off the top of my head I ever remember a game that had back-to-back plays at the plate. They both went the Phillies' way, and that's how the Phillies won. So let's start with the bottom of the ninth inning with one out, and then during this play with two outs, and a play at the plate at home when Alec Bohm is trying to tie it. If the catcher catches the ball and tags him, he's going to be out. This was wild.
Finnegan ready. He kicks, and the pitch swung on, hit in the air field. It's not very deep. Cruising under it near the line. He makes the catch. Bohm tags. He's coming home. And the throw. He is safe. The ball got to hit the plate. Alec Bohm scores, and the game is tied 6-6 here in the bottom of the ninth.
That was a fortuitous moment for the Phillies, because with a better
He was out.
He should have been out. He should have been out.
If they just catch the ball.
Catch the ball and tap. Yeah.
The play's there.
Yeah, the ball's there. And the
catch
guy.
Catch the ball in your mitt. Make the tag. It's the. Even though I thought he should have gotten a really good jump.
Yeah, and it wasn't deep, and it's not
Ricky
Henderson.
He's so slow.
It's not Ricky Henderson. It's not
he's shockingly slow. Yeah. Like, every time I'm shocked by it.
It looked like an easy... That's right. It just didn't mesh. Like, sometimes there are players in football that just defy the angle, defy your eye. That defied my eye. I thought there was no way possible he wouldn't make it to home plate. Didn't make it to home plate.
No, he's just not
that
fast.
Slow.
And it wasn't that deep. But look, he gets there. And then, like, seconds later... With Trey Turner batting, you get a gift from the gods.
The stretch by Finnegan and the 2-0 in the dirt, and there's a stop. Here comes Stott. He'll score. The ball got away up the first baseline. Bryson Stott with a mad dash for the plate, dives head first, and the Phillies have won it on a walk-off wild pitch. 7-6, the Phillies win in the bottom of the ninth inning.
If anyone knows back-to-back play at the plates to end a Phillies game in the whole history, you can win a dollar bill.
Did you notice?
I'll give you a buck.
On that play, Trey Turner almost didn't get out of the way.
Yeah,
Trey Turner almost didn't get out of the way, yeah.
And
yeah.
He said that after the game. He was like, I was just focused
like,
on,
what are you
know.
Doing?
Yeah.
Did we find out anything about Stott's hand?
His
left hand's okay?
Yeah.
You down there last night, Devin?
Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
Yes.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.